surprisingly not. I think, I mean, what happens to Americans when they come to Australia is they, I mean, it's, we have a common language, so they can read the papers, they can listen to the radio and the television and understand, just like Australians, what's going on. It's a similar culture of communication, so as difficult as something like the industrial action over the weekend was, no American would think that somehow calling the American Consulate General would give them a better understanding than they could get anywhere else. We had the same thing back in January and February when we had the floods in Queensland. We stood up a task force. We were quite intent on making sure that any American in harm's way had access to us. But what we found is that they were entirely satisfied by the systems and approaches put in place by Australia and the Queensland government. It was really quite amazing because we had, I don't know, we had well over 100,000 Americans spread out over Queensland, and very, very few of them felt a need to call us or communicate with us.
Now, have you spent any time in Outback Australia so far in your role, Niels?
Well, I've gotten away from the coast, but I've not gotten any further inland than, say, well, down in New South Wales, that would be Parks or Dubbo. And they told me there very intently that that was not yet the Outback. So, and up in Queensland, I've been, I don't know, maybe 20 times I've visited Queensland in my year here. I've been as far north and west as Mareeba, which isn't exactly on most people's circuit, but this will be my first trip to the bush or to the outback, whatever you want to call it.
Fantastic. And what are your impressions before you land here?
Well, I think it's, I think, you know, it's not unlike parts of America where people have lived for a long time in, I think, difficult conditions where you sort of alternate between heat and cold and drought and wet and somehow manage to make a living and much of it agricultural. But actually, my parents-in-law have visited Outback Australia before. They came here some years ago and flew around with a Qantas pilot and his private plane and visited some of the places that I'll be seeing. So I've heard about it from my family, and you know, they just said it was terrific. The hospitality was unsurpassed.
Great. Have you ever been to a school on the radio before?
A school that does distance learning via radio?
Mm-hmm.
I actually have, but only in Africa.
Right.
Well, I think any time you can put technology to use solving, you know, day-to-day problems like, I mean, whether it's a radio or whether it's a television and you have, you know, distance learning that's occurring at, you know, the university level or high school level or any level, you're allowing kids to stay where they live, to stay in their families, and still get an education. So I'm enormously impressed and encouraged by these kinds of applications of technology.
And I understand you're coming to visit our Royal Flying Doctor Service as well. Is that a model you've seen in some of your other work as well?
Well, I don't think I will have seen one that was as well organized as what you have, because, I mean, Australia is a wealthy, developed country, and you're applying solutions, but I think probably very well resourced solutions. In Africa, it's all very difficult because, frankly, the resources are not nearly what they need to be, and many citizens are not given access to the service when they need it. So sometimes it can save a life, often it doesn't. But in Australia, you have a reputation as being a place where it all kicks into action very efficiently, and so I'm sure I'll be impressed by that.